Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel, and today we're going to be looking at The Last of Us Part 2 and other games. First of all,
Yes.
Huge shout out to me. I have finished 2 video games in 2 weeks.
Huge that is shout out to Joel Dusha, everybody.
Unprecedented. Whoa. And both of those games pretty long. Banjo-Kazooie, obviously a 20-hour game, as everyone knows.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, this week, finished The Last of Us Part 2.
How many hours?
Just shy of 30.
Whoa, 10 more on Banjo-Kazooie. Do they say that on the box?
Yeah, they do. They say
10 more hours than the video game Banjo-Kazooie, because that would suck me in, I'll tell you what.
So before we get any further, I know that there's probably a lot of people listening to this because people want Last of Us 2 content, but they don't want spoilers.
Yeah.
I will be dishing out very mild spoilers, so about like the length of the game and stuff like that, but I won't reveal any story stuff. We'll probably do a Last of Us 2 spoiler episode down the track.
Okay.
I'm working on some things.
All right. These
we're
two
all idiots that I'm in the room
on
with.
Some things. It's all fine. So, spoiler-free Last of Us review.
If you want to know nothing, stop listening, but download the episode and save it for later.
Yeah.
And maybe just fast forward to listen to just the ads.
Here are the things that we know. It's a game. It's on PlayStation 4. And if that's all you want to know, stop listening now.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's
but
it.
If you want more, don't stop listening.
Yeah.
All so, right.
And they've got it. Yeah.
Yeah, they should have.
So apart from being a game on the PS4, what else is there to do?
So it's a sequel to The Last of Us, game that was on the PS3 and then the PS4.
A game I played and a game Jackson did not like, but played because he went the best strat, which was a Brickbarian, I believe.
Yeah, that good is strat. It. Our takes and times with The Last of Us.
Yeah, Jackson got very angry at the first one featuring too many ladders and moving things.
I was bored the whole time. And I've nearly finished that game twice, but I can't hack it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed it and I hated Joel. So,
there you go.
So, The Last of Us Part 2 is like a bigger version of the first one. A lot of the things that you like about the first one are better in the second one, but some of the qualms you would have, like if you don't like Joel or if you find certain characters frustrating, you will find things like that in the second one that are like amplified.
Okay, well, it's not that I didn't like Joel, it was just that he was very much a villain.
Yeah, well, the events of the first game are very much hanging over this game. A lot of this revolves on the end of the first one.
All right.
So Joel's decision at the end, like, haunts, I guess, the first 10 hours of this game.
And so it should, you know?
Yeah!
Not a great decision, just saying. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, obviously if you're cool with mild spoilers for The Last of Us 2, you're probably cool with spoilers for a game that came out 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, when Joel chooses to kill the
kill
Fireflies...
Kill Ellie with a gun, yeah.
Yeah, when Joel chooses to shoot Ellie, I was surprised that they were advertising her as the main game of the second one, but I was like, because she got shot with that gun.
Yeah,
Joel shot her with a gun in the head.
I'm pretty sure Joel shot her in the head and strangled a giraffe. That's what happened.
We gotta kill all the giraffes, Ellie. Yeah. I remember The Last of Us. I just wasn't a big fan.
He was firing in the air to emphasize how much, you know, A, his excitement for killing giraffes, and B, where he would be aiming as if a giraffe was there.
To hit them in the lower jaw,
But then it fell down, as all bullets are wont to
onto
do.
Onto Ellie's
and,
head.
Ellie, and he was like, no, you're not a giraffe! I'm Joel,
the Last of Us! Part one.
The Last of Us being, you know, the last giraffes. We have to kill the last giraffes!
I remember the game.
We know the
so
last
that hangs over the head of...
Yeah, so... When you start the game, the game opens with Joel telling Tommy, his brother, what he did at the end of the first Last of Us and being like, Ellie doesn't know, but I need to tell someone. And Tommy's like, I would have done the same thing. Like, that's a lot, but I get it. Yeah. But then when you're playing as Ellie, you find out that like her relationship with Joel is like fractured and things seem really wrong. And you're like, what's going on? So there's a bit of like a mystery to it. And yeah, as the story progresses, you find more and more information out along the way. And this game is a revenge game, and a lot of the leaks and stuff like that surrounding The Last of Us Part 2 that people got very angry about are events that happened right at the start of the game, because the story is told in like an odd chronological order. So that was stressful to avoid those leaks for that long, and then only to find out that the cutscenes that people were really upset about happened about 2 hours into the game.
You could have been huffing those leaks the whole time.
Well, I mean, it was still... Look, I'm glad I didn't see them, but I guess if you have seen them and you're like, oh, the whole game's ruined, think again, idiot.
It's the journey, not the destination.
And this game is a big, big emotional journey. It's kind of hard to talk about The Last of Us right now and not address the fact that the entire internet is screaming about it. I feel, because I loved this game. I thought it was like one of the most, like, I guess, like deeply involved stories in a video game that I've played in a long time. And I know that certain members of this podcast could not give less of a shit about stories in video games.
Sounds bad, dude.
Sounds right up my alley, dude.
Yeah, so
you
it's
know when on the back of a game they say has an incredible story? I'm like, if you put that on the back of the game, you didn't have enough other things to put in the back of the game.
Games are not art. Games are not about telling an emotion. Games are about hitting A and I can jump. That is my game.
I, Jackson Bailey, do not believe games are art. They are performance art only.
So, Jackson?
They are a form of construction.
So, good news, first of all, here's a pro for you, Jackson. You play as Ellie for the majority of the game.
That sounds
and
good.
And Ellie has a knife.
I like that's more games need knives.
That's
so
great.
That's
how many hunger meters?
Yeah.
There's no hunger meter, but you can drown pretty easily.
That's pretty good.
I'm in.
What's the emotional music like for this handsome bish? Am I gonna cry?
It's so the end of the game, I was like, oh no. I didn't cry, but I got close. And there's lots and lots of emotional moments in the game. It's not just like one.
Oh, yeah.
It has multiple moments where it's like, hey, audience, eat shit.
Have a cry.
Yeah.
Tear up, dirtbag.
If you can hack it, I would highly recommend watching any of the YouTube videos talking about why The Last of Us 2 is a bad game. Because it just seems like men were made to feel things, and they didn't like what they felt, so now they're just angry. What are ugly men yelling?
Right.
Which is usually our job, but people have taken it from us.
I'm just going to take a leaf out of our other podcast on the network that I do, which is Why Am I Sad? Do you think therapy would help?
The men yelling on the internet or the character Ellie who makes some poor decisions in the game? Because I think both.
All right, yeah. Okay, that's
good to hear. Probably both could probably do with some therapy. Absolutely.
I don't know. It's just really weird to me that so, obviously, look, The Last of Us 2 does have some problems, and I'll get to them in a second, but it seems really weird to me to give a game a zero because you don't like the story.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
Like, movie critics and TV critics and whatever, they're not like, oh, I disagree with this one character's actions, so this is actually a zero. That's insane.
The direction was impeccable. The action was, out of this world. The acting itself, oh my god, every person in this deserves an Oscar, including the extras. Definitely should win Best Supporting and Best... But the storyline of one particular character, worst film I've seen in my life.
pretty messed up that Hannibal eats people, dude. That's not cool. So I'm giving this movie an F grade.
Yeah, hey, I went to the cinema and this character I love is actually a cuck. So zero stars and I'm actually never going to the cinema again.
Yeah.
Everything else ruled, though. I loved it. I bought the soundtrack.
People in movies are real life, yes?
The reason I'd recommend watching those videos, obviously there's lots and lots of spoilers in them, so don't do it if you haven't played the game and you plan on it, but it's like the actions of some of the men in the game, people are like, I'm personally betrayed, because when I played the first game, the tough men in that are like me, a tough man, and now they're making human decisions? That's not tough. They've wrecked the character.
They don't know that Joel's kind of scum, right?
People also seem to forget that Joel starts out really prickly. Yeah, so I'm talking about decisions Joel makes. I dance around a little bit. That doesn't spoil anything. Throughout the first game, he is prickly and a prick at the start.
Yeah.
And he warms up and becomes a better person, but then that, in a result of becoming a better person, makes him make a crazy decision at the end of the game.
Yeah, but there's so many, like, hints and like, little bits of clues about Joel's former life when the whole world fell to shit that... Like, he became the people that were just murdering people that came through their streets and... Like,
yeah.
He's not a good man.
No.
Like, he was 100% flawed. He grows as an arc, I agree, as an arc. But, like, Joel was not a good man.
Yeah. Him not being a good man doesn't really come into this. People seem to be more angry about, like, a bunch of other...
Okay.
Look, it's crazy. Let's just focus on, I guess... Look, watch those videos if you want to. They're insane. It's just people. It's just the Last Jedi discourse again. It feels real good to get sucked into it a second time. Liking a thing is bad.
Well, yeah. I've always said that.
From what I've been reading online, me liking this game means that someone's going to have sex with my wife, which is bad news, but...
That's a bummer, dude.
Dude, that sucks. Unless that's your jam, then that's great.
And that rolls.
Yeah.
How lucky. Yeah. You get a surefire way to guarantee it.
Yeah, while I'm finishing while the credits rolled of The Last of Us Part 2, a ball burst into my house and cucked my wife.
Cucked your wife?
Cucked your wife. Wait a minute.
Just as long as cucking is happening in the house, that's all that matters.
I mean, I guess that's nice.
Yeah,
I was
great.
Like, oh. Well, yeah, I deserve
this. I didn't expect this to go this way, but yeah, cool.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess you're here to make sweet love to my wife. No.
No, you. I'm making sweet love to you.
She
upset
watching.
Your wife.
Yeah.
Oh, I've misunderstood this whole process.
Okay, cool. So do I... Am I the...
Okay.
Well, all right.
Okay, yeah, great. Let me just finish The Last of Us 2. I mean,
hang on.
It's quite an emotional ending. And then we can do the cucking.
Hey, please, sit down next to me and watch me finish this off. And then you can finish me. Oh, I can finish it. Whatever. Someone will be finishing someone.
It's
gonna be
going
to be good.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's exciting for you.
Yeah, it was great. It was wild. Not something that they probably should have, whilst they wrote incredible storytelling on the back, been like, watch out for bulls. Because it really...
It's a good idea.
Really, really, really added a new layer to my day that I was just not expecting. I was an emotional wreck. There was a man who was like, I'm here to have sex with you. I was like, wow, my wife is here. What's gonna...
She's gonna be so upset, but she's watching the whole time.
It's all... happening.
All in all, that rules. That rules so hard. I'm jealous that I have yet to finish play and enjoy The Last of Us Part 2. That seems like a lot of fun. And plus the added bonus of a great storytelling narrative, and then also this added cucking on top.
Yeah.
So, the actual game itself, there is a lot that I really like. It looks, like, incredible. There's, like, big set pieces in the games that are just like, holy shit, I haven't seen stuff like this in video games. Some of, like, the open world stuff in it. It's not like open world, but it's more open than the first one was. Like, there's still lots of corridors where you have to go down. It's just like walk in a line, go into a room. But then there's also like big open fields, I guess.
So is it
like
very linear? Or is it?
It's still very much a linear game.
Good. I miss being, you know, handheld and told where to go and what to do.
Yeah.
There's
just put me in pretty environments. Don't make me find them myself. I can't be asked.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Hey, maybe this game is for you, Jackson. So,
No.
So it is, it's still linear, but, so pretty much what it'll be is be like, all right, sweet, so Ellie's gonna get to, like, I don't know, this TV station, And, like, to get there, you're walking through, like, a big, like, open street kind of area, and there's multiple ways you can get to the TV station, but, like, once you get in there, it's just a building, and you've got to get to, like, the top of the building, which then has vibes of, like, The Last of Us 1, which is just open a door, there's some infected, figure out what to do with them, there's another door at the end of the room, go through that door.
Okay.
Work your way up. So, yeah, it's far more linear than a game like Breath of the Wild or something like that, but less linear than, I guess, The Last of Us Part 1. There is a lot of cutscenes in this. Like, had vibes of Death Stranding, but none of the cutscenes are anywhere near as long as Death Stranding. And it still does the thing that The Last of Us 1 does, which is occasionally scenes that feel like they should or could be cutscenes. They kind of make you play out.
No, yeah.
So, like, walking and talking and stuff like that, which could have easily been a cutscene. They kind of just, like, make you do that just so you get, like, more of a feel for the environment you're in, I guess. The combat and stuff like that is way better than it is in the first game, and a lot of the puzzle solving is a lot better. There's a new mechanic, which is ropes, and people have complained I've seen complaints about that. Saying that people have complained a lot is probably
a stretch. Are they the new ladders?
How many rope tricks can you do?
Yeah. Is it a lasso? That'd be cool.
Well, you pick up rope and have to throw it over things. Sometimes you can use it as you can just, like, drop it down a ledge and climb down it, but other times you can, like, throw it over a thing, so then you can use it as a swing to get to other areas.
Yeah.
So, a little bit more varied than a ladder. It doesn't happen anywhere near as much as ladders happen in the first game. Like, not even close.
Well, that's good.
The game does have, like, a few throwbacks to the first part. So, like, I reckon I was about 20 hours into the game, and then all of a sudden, for the first time in the game, I had to move a plank of wood. I had to move a plank of wood to, like, gap between two roofs, yeah. And I was like, The Last of Us.
It really makes me feel like I'm playing The Last of Us Part 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn.
And I think there was, like, one or two ladders, again, around the same part of the game, so I was like, why are you doing this right now? This is so weird.
Would you think that the inclusion of a ladder was perhaps a love letter to The Last of Us Part 1?
Do you want to hear something very funny, Joel Zammit and Jackson Bailey? Yes, fact, do think it is a love letter to The Last of Us, and it actually feels intentionally like that.
That's so funny.
In the character development, a character is becoming more and more like Joel, and then that is when that comes into it. So I honestly think that, yeah, the creator's like, let's put a love letter to
The Last of Us. You know what a cornerstone of Joel's personality was? He moving loved stuff. Ladder.
He Damn, loved he ladder. He loved plank wood.
Yeah, so yeah, that make Ally nothing makes me think of Joel ladder. More. Yeah. Whoa.
Well, because, like, in the story, you find out that they're becoming more like Joel, but you don't really do Joel stuff in game, and then all of a sudden you're doing heaps of Joel stuff in game.
Moving ladders, like, a classic Joel behavior.
Yeah. Name it more Look. Classic Joel behavior. Killing folk? You're doing that already. Mm-hmm. I think
pushing
if I wanna...
trolley? Do you push a bin at any point?
Oh, you push bin a few times.
That's not even The Last of Us. That's just, like, Naughty Dog think that's a sick mechanic, because the same thing happens in any Uncharted game. Hey, Naughty Dog.
You know what would be good in this particular level here?
It's not good.
I see what we're doing, but what if we push bin?
Yeah, hey, what if push clunky bin? Is that fun? Then get up, place.
Hey, I mean, guys, I've been thinking.
Yes.
Push bin?
Push bin up, place.
So, little bit of defense of bin. Okay. In this one, bin control much better than old bin. New bin far feel like pushing shopping cart, I reckon.
Is pull bin or only push bin?
You can pull and push bin.
Still to get up?
You get to the up when pushing bin a little bit, but the last time I remember doing bin was move bin so you can get to door behind bin.
Oh. No push bin down.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one cool move bin part where you have to get up. And you have to roll bin uphill.
Oh.
And then run to door, open door, bin slide out through door.
Oh, okay. I do like up.
Yeah. That gets you to the up place.
Well, that is good.
The bins are mostly, because it's, like I said, like kind of like an open worldy part at points. There's one point when you're in, like, downtown Seattle, and that's pretty much exclusively where the bins are. Where you get to, like, more suburby kind of stuff. There's like no bin.
Ah, it's a lot of like in real life.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes so sense. There's a lot of like, once you get to the suburbs, it's more like, go upstairs of a building, break a window, you're climbing onto the roof and use that roof to jump across to the other roof. So like, okay. It seems thought out and they don't rely too heavily on just doing the same thing over and over again. Whilst rope, ladder, bin, it's all just moving stuff to bridge gap to get from A to B.
It's the same gameplay.
It's the same stuff, but at least they vary it a little bit.
I guess.
That's nice. The
one thing that I guess is a criticism... Well, I got a couple of criticisms, I guess. It's... I'm going to give this 5 thumbs before even... Like, let's just get that out of the way. I have some criticisms, but I also think this is one of the...
You can give a game 5 thumbs, a perfect score, but you can still be, you know, critical of it. Like, just because there were some tiny bits here and there, you can still give it 5 thumbs. That's cool.
Yeah.
Disha, the reviews are meaningless.
Yeah.
That's also true.
Jackson.
What are you talking about?
But sometimes they're not.
Oh, mine have always been meaningless.
What do you mean when you say, I played this game for 45 minutes, I never want to think of it again, 4 thumbs and a knock? You mean you don't mean that? What?
I know, that is it's a crazy revelation here today.
It's a bit long. The game does a thing about halfway through, which is very cool, but goes for too long. Okay. There's probably like about it took me 30 hours to beat it, roughly. I reckon if you had to shorten the game to about 25 hours, that probably would have been better. Okay. There's just like a little bit like in the back half of the game where you're kind of backtracking a bit. And occasionally that's just a cutscene or like a thing happens and then it kind of fades to black. And then all of a sudden you're back at your base. But then occasionally it makes you like walk back.
Okay. I know that there's a thing, and like I feel it with like the Uncharted games, and I'm assuming it's the same thing where like, sure, the story's not for me, and I have a lot of problems with the gameplay, but like I think it's the gameplay, what I'm trying to say is this isn't like me necessarily criticizing The Last of Us, I think it happens with any Naughty Dog game, is that in the back half of the games you're like, oh, it's just the same thing, like I'm just doing the same thing again and again and again, no matter how great the story is, I'm still just doing the same thing, and it sort of starts to lose a little something.
Look, okay, skip ahead 1 minute just in case, because this is like more of an intense spoiler, but it's worth bringing up based on what you've just said. So, look,
okay,
here's your chance, everyone. Yeah. Skip
Slam
ahead a minute.
Slam that 15-second button a few times.
Yeah.
So,
The Last of Us Part 2 actually, like, the back half literally mirrors the first half of the game. So, yes, Jackson, you're well and truly on the money there. Because you play as
you're
a second character
just,
who mirrors
I'm
Ellie's
doing it
journey.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
So, yes, they do that. And the second half should not be as long as the first half, but it is.
That's fair.
Right. Hmm. No spoilers again.
Welcome back.
Welcome
I
back.
I hope you spent that time doing something worthwhile.
I hope they were just, like, sweating. So, yeah. The Last of Us Part 2, it's one of the best PS4 games I've played, if not the best. It hurt me a lot more than a video game does, and yes, it is just like, I guess, constantly just punishing the person that's playing the game, but sometimes art is sad.
Video game's not art, it's math.
Jackson, your favorite video game is about a husband and wife that are separated in a plane crash. How is that not sad?
Oh, yeah, no, it's video games art, of course. It's just also math.
Tricked you into saying that it's art, you idiot. Video games aren't art, they're nerd shit. Paintings are art.
Video games are art, I get sucked back to hell. That's how this works.
Video games aren't art, movies aren't art, paintings are art.
Oh, paintings and statues.
Sorry, Jack, I think I hear something in the background. Is that a knock on the door of the bull coming to sleep with your wife?
No! Damn it! See, this is why I don't say video games are art. Damn.
Yeah. Picasso never made a movie or a PS4 game. That's all I'm saying.
Go to what's in the art museum? Is it video games?
No, it's not.
If you go to the Louvre, what's there?
No movies either. What?
Monsieur, I'm looking for the video games.
You don't find...
And they will laugh you out of there.
You don't find the episode of How I Met Your Mother with the watermelon or pineapple or whatever it is in the Louvre. No, you find art.
Yeah, absolutely. Paintings.
Paintings. That's the only art.
Look, what am I describing? You get a brush, you dip it in some paint, put it on some canvas.
That sounds like art, dude.
Exactly.
Like
now, what's this? I have a mise-en-scene in front of me. I got a camera. I'm filming it. What's that?
You're making Iron Man 4, my good friend.
Yeah.
Damn right.
So, Last of Us Part 2, 5 thumbs. Look, it is significantly better than I thought it was going to be. The story is super involved. Hmm. Play it. It's worth it. Joel Zammit, it will make you cry. Jackson Bailey, don't touch it.
I wasn't gonna.
Endeavor to get it from you sometime when we're out of video game jail again. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Would you say it's Joel Dusha's game of the year? Is it your GOTY?
It is my GOTY, yeah.
Damn.
It's also made me want to go back and play Death Stranding because, like, the heaps of cutscenes and stuff like that, for some reason, I'm just like, oh, man, I need more of that. Man, I can't wait to deliver packages.
Man, I miss my film in my game, but all right.
I could watch I could watch 10 movies or I could play one long movie.
Here's what you got to do, dude. Yeah, just get 10 movies up and crash Bandicoot in a PlayStation 1.
Mm.
And you just pause the movie every half hour to do a level. That's the same thing.
Oh, I like that. That's how you make old games new.
Yeah.
Well, before I go into what I've been playing, let's just have a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so I picked up a game called Summer in Mara for the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. I was browsing the Switch store, which I haven't done in quite some time. Been in video game jail and kind of just staring at a screen and being like, what to play? But I had a look through, and lo and behold, Summer in Mara was there, which is a game that I had been looking forward to.
Was it on your Facebook watch list or wish list or whatever it's called on the Switch?
It wasn't on my watch list or wish list. I just remember someone in the Facebook group linking the trailer for it and thinking, man, that looks a lot of fun. Basically, I wanted to play this game while listening to Alyssa Cara's song from Moana as I sailed the seas. That was what I wanted to do. When I saw this particular game and I was going to have a lot of fun with it. So the whole game, it's kind of like meant to be Stardew Valley, but with like tropical island hopping adventures.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I was very excited. Looked at the Kickstarter. It was like a lot of fun. I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. Installed it and it feels like I'm playing an alpha test. It's not sucks. Quite
an fibbered. Alpha test, not even beta.
Oh, it's so weird. I just, in the core concept, and I don't know if I should be like, this is kind of my initial,
like maybe you'll play it a little bit more and you'll enjoy it a little bit more.
But I don't think I will, to be honest.
Hey, that's fair.
Unless there is a giant update and a giant overhaul. Like, because you know when there's some games that release and they make their first release, you're like, oh, okay, I can see the potential here, but there are just a lot of things that need little bit of
polish
fixing here and there. Yeah. Mm. In terms of so it starts off, you're a little cutscene. The cutscenes are quite nice. I really like how the animation style. I really like the artistic direction. I think it's really kind of cool. So it starts off, little cutscene. You're a baby in the ocean, and there's like a
wet baby.
Classic
wet baby situation. Yeah.
Moses?
Yeah.
Is he reading baby?
In a river, idiot.
Ocean baby. Link from Link's Awakening. No, well, yes.
Rivers do end up in the sea, though, actually. So yeah. Maybe you're right. You're like, it's like a Moses if no one picked him up. A loose going. Moses situation.
A loose Moses situation, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a cutscene. I think it's in the trailer, if you watch the trailer. And I would highly recommend watching the trailer and then not buying the game and just imagining what that game would have been from the trailer.
What's the game called again?
Summer in Mara.
Summer in Mara?
Yes. You're a little baby, you're a wet baby, and some gross creature comes and picks you up. She's like an old nan, but looks weird and gross. And that's the thing, is like I really love the character designs. You are a human child, but everything else is a gross, weird thing.
Because cover art looks like Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
No, so, look at the monsters, douche.
But if you look at the characters who are not, I believe her name is Koa. From memory, who's not the main character, they're all just non-humans. And it's really cool. It's like a very, like, okay, you're like a weird humanoid character in this, like, lovely tapestry of all these weird-looking folk. And that's great. I really like that. So it picks you up, and there's, like, a tutorial little bit where it's your grandma's being like, okay, you got to help me fill up the fuel, and this is how we plant crops and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Your basic farm sim stuff. And then there's another cutscene, and I assume your nan dies? I don't know. It's not clear, and there's a very big disconnect of, like, the story going forward. So I'm like,
sad nan.
Yeah, because, like, you put fuel in the boat, or you help the boat, and then off she goes. And then there's another cutscene, and then on the island, the boat is a little bit wrecked and sort of, like, lopsided, sort of like sitting in the bay, and you're like, what happened to Nan? Is she dead? Oh no. So, and then you have to do some stuff on your island. Some little folk comes, they're tiny and they've got like a big bulbous pink head, and I love them, and they don't really speak, but they draw in crayon to communicate.
Cool.
Which is kind of nice. And then you kind of got to do some stuff here to, you know, and it's like usual stuff of like crafting. So you're crafting tools, you're crafting food, you're doing those kind of things. But it just doesn't feel
good
to play. You're very floaty. Like this, the controls by itself, you look like and feel like you are floating an inch above everything.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
And there's a jump function, and I love a game where you jump. You just spam that jump button like maniac that I am. I love that. But you jump too high. Like you jump insanely high. Which
jump
gives
big.
It the yes, mm. jump, too,
jump
big,
too big,
and it makes it feel more and more like you're in alpha testing. There is like a pathway up a mountain. You just jump it, and when you run and jump, you jump higher than a tree, which is something that a small child shouldn't do.
That's it.
It's make a strange kids for a farming jump sim. Big again. Like no platforming whatsoever to just include a massive jump. Like that seems.
It's
I don't know why they would do that.
Extremely strange. And then when you're jumping off the mountain, there's no fall damage at all.
Yeah, okay.
Which is kind of cool. So you jump this big jump, and you're like, I guess it's fine, whatever. There is like that energy and health meter as well. But again, it's not really that punishing. So if you go to the end, you're like, oh, whatever, it's fine. I wake up and like, I'm exhausted, but big whoop. There is a day-night cycle, and when it comes to sort of like planting crops, you have like a small patch you can sort of play with, and then it's kind of like a waiting game. But unlike, say, Stardew, where it's like, right, I'm going to plant my crops, water them every day, do some stuff in the town, come back, there is no sense of urgency. So it's like, right, I'm growing pumpkins. I take 4 days to make sick. I just sleep, I guess. Wake up, go to bed. They're done. And there's no punishment.
Is there anything to do while the pumpkins are growing?
I mean, I guess you're meant to be, and this is where it comes into like later on, where you're meant to be exploring and going the main town. But ultimately, you're like, who cares? So when you finally get the boat up and running, and you venture forth into the ocean, which was I thought was going to be a lot of fun, but boy, does the boat not move like a boat.
Yes. What does it move like?
That rules.
A dog?
Like a, no, like a Hot Wheels car.
Oh. Whoa. So, just quickly, and I think it's worth noting, I looked up the price of this game because I was curious, and it is 35 Australian dollars.
Yes. So, again, and that's a kind of another sticking point as well.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, the Stardew Valley, the maybe Stranded Sail, which was another sort of, like, farming type game like this.
Sea game it is, as well, yeah.
Mm. It's very much towards the Stranded Sails version of things. Mm. It should not have been $35.
Yeah.
You can see, again, it's done by, like, a small team, but, again, that should not be an excuse.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and so, also, sorry, the other thing that I just wanted to say was when I tried to search for Summer in Mario, nothing came up because I realized it accidentally typed Summer in Mario. Which.
Now that's a game.
Yeah.
Mario
yeah.
Farming Sim when?
When you go to the main, like, hub town, hub world.
Yeah.
I think it's called, like, Qualis or something like that. It's a really big world, but it feels too big. And I don't know if it was like a con- when you're making a game, when you're making anything, like,
I know everything when you're making a game, Jackson, you've made games, yeah, I've made games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like, when make you're video making, games all look, the time.
When you're making any art, everything is a decision or a conscious decision. So I'm like thinking this through, and maybe I'm maybe overthinking this as opposed to maybe what the game designers were, because I'm like, it feels very big, the place that you're sort of walking towards. And I'm like, okay, why is it too big? Is it because I'm a kid? And they're trying to emphasize the feeling that, you know, you are in this huge world and you're only a small child. Now, I don't know if that's intentional or not.
Yeah.
I think it's not.
Would you say it works? Like, it's effective?
Not at all.
Does the town feel smaller if you jump the whole time because you jump so big?
Oh, you are jumping everywhere. It's great.
Is that the fastest way to travel?
Oh, heaps, because you just scale mountains. It's
Jackson,
you're like a
are you jealous that you can't travel that quick in real life
by
doing jumps? Yeah,
I wish I could jump that high. I can only jump a little bit, dude.
And you exercise that ride quite a lot.
Yeah. I do. I love to jump.
You love jump. Mm.
I can't remember the last time I jumped.
Do it now.
I'm sitting down. No.
There's like one, when you go into like the main port and you go up some sort of stairs or like a ramp, there's like this brick wall. And on the brick wall, there are posters. So, but they're very sparse and they're very small. So it just makes it look worse.
Mm.
So I don't know if they're trying to be like, we're trying to make it seem like a lived in city. But by doing that, it's drawing your eye to the attention of, like, to, you know, if they just left it blank, it would have been fine. But it just does feel like something, like an alpha test or like something that a student made in the early 2000s.
That's
a great time to make games.
Yeah.
It just feels like a demo. All the villagers, there are some villagers you can chat to, and they're the
some.
Ones that give you
Wait,
quests.
So you can't even talk to all of the villagers? They've put villagers
Not
that
really.
Don't talk.
Yeah, there's people in the town that you can go in, there's like a speech bubble, you can hear what they say.
Mm.
But there are only certain people that you can talk to, and they give you quests. And a lot of these quests kind of sum down to, I would like a pumpkin, here's some pumpkin seeds, go and grow them. So then you got to chuff back to your main island, grow the pumpkins, chuff back to the that hub village, give him the pumpkin, and then off you go.
Yep.
And that's basically the gameplay, is a lot of this. And it's can be very tedious and boring. I wish there was just like a button to go back to boat, and then like a button to go back to the home world.
Yeah.
There is a button you can go like, oh, you can go back to the town hub, but it's going to cost you some gold.
I'm going to spend my gold on pumpkins or whatever. I'm not going
to
tell.
Yeah, I need to buy seeds, idiot.
Yeah.
Speaking of the village, everyone doesn't really move. Everyone just feels like they're like stuck in this tableau. It's like you go there and they're just there. No one really seems to have a day-night cycle. And again, this is what makes it kind of feel unlived in. Mm. And it just feels so unpolished. I've gotten to the point where I can now go and find other islands and move around to that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, it's opened up a little bit more now.
Maybe
I'm exploring
the
more.
Exploring, will be satisfying.
And, like, it is to an extent, but I'm just sort of going from island to island. There's nothing really there to do. I came across one island and there was, like, a hammock and I was like, ah, cool, someone was here, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, wonder if I can sleep on the hammock. And they use this, that you can sleep on the hammock, but they use the same mechanic as, like, the hotel in the village, which costs like some gold. So you're like,
pay money to sleep in a hammock. That rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. And there's some weird little tiny things where you're like, I guess maybe this makes sense, but is it fun?
Yeah.
So when you're watering your crops, you know, you have to water it from a well. So you go to the well, you grab the bucket that comes off it, and then you have to run quickly while water goes behind you.
I would simply put my plant in the well.
Exactly. Clever. And so it's like, okay, cool, I'm doing this, I'm running around, okay, my plants are watered, fantastic. And every, like, well has a limit of how much water per day sort of thing. So it's
five,
like,
you liters.
Know, like, whatever it is. So it's like you can do it five times and then the well runs dry and you've got to wait for the rains to come and fill it up.
March, the rains are here. I know, I get it.
March rains here.
Yeah.
Corn.
But if you destroy the well and then rebuild the well, there's water in the well.
Hacks. Okay.
So it's kind of like, what's the point?
Well, I like that you've played the game long enough that you've figured tricks like that. I've watched the trailer whilst you said to watch the trailer. To me, it looks like that the trailer, to me, if I was to guess what the type of game was, it looks heaps like they've been like, hey, we've taken the aesthetic of Wind Waker and made kind of like a 3D-ish adventure game. It doesn't look like a farm sim at all. I would be angry if I bought it and found it was a farm sim because, as Jackson knows, farm sims, no good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mind being a farm sim, and I was looking forward to this kind
get
of like
farming simulator. Then you coward.
I probably should, but I was looking forward to this kind of you know, farming sim mixed with like this adventure exploration. And when you are now that I'm going off and exploring, I can now open diving, and so I dive down and find treasure. Is it satisfying? No, no, it's not. So it's just. It feels like there is definitely a game in here that
that's a good
might
start.
Be enjoyable.
Yeah.
They've put a lot of time and energy and there's a lot of emphasis on the lore and this whole world, because I think it might be a spin-off of something else. I'm not entirely sure, but it's like set in the same way. But yeah, there's a lot of lore going on and it just isn't really fun yet.
It sounds frankly awful.
It's just, it's so floaty. It's so unfinished. It's a very disappointing game because I thought it would be fun to play, but it's not. I cannot recommend you buy this game in the slightest, especially not for $35 Australian. If I quickly did a quick Google search on Steam, it's 15% off.
Hey, grab it now. There
no, don't.
Buy this game. If you have to buy one game from this episode
year,
of...
It's Joel Zammett's Game of the Year.
No.
Joel Zammett says, The Last of Us Part 2 can eat my ass and see me in hell. I'm Summer of Mara till I die.
I'm Summer in Mara, ride or die.
How many thumbs?
Four?
Four thumbs, come in here. Maybe one, I guess.
That's grim. That's a grim amount of thumbs.
I like the animation style. It's kind of cutesy. It just feels like this needs to go back in the oven for maybe 3 more months while they ironed out some of the problems. Oh yeah, there's no so when you are traveling around, you can open up a map. But then when you're in your normal HUD, there's no sense of direction or map.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, usually I like that in a game, like in Outward, where there is no idea of like, where
you're
going.
No, bad. No, don't encourage that. Minimaps were invented in like 2001 and they should be in every game.
Look, I agree, but like with Outward, it was a stylistic choice. It was basically being like, you're an adventurer, you do not know where you're going.
Hang on, The Last of Us doesn't have a map.
And that's what I really liked about Outward.
Gotcha, dude.
Whereas this game really does need that HUD, especially if you're, you know, trying to navigate yourself around a map of a town.
Look, I'm here to make a brave stance. It's 2020. Okay. Video games should have an end.
I agree.
Yeah. There might be an end, because there's a lot of quests.
And but... I don't mean like a Skyrim or Fallout end where it's like, yeah, I finished it, but actually I've put 633 hours into it. Yeah.
End credits and the game melts in your console. Yes! That's what you want.
Yeah.
Well, I recently was trying to play video games with some friends online, because I'm cool.
Don't do that.
But then,
who's agreeing
reasons,
to that?
Yeah, I know, dude. Not you guys. No. It wasn't you. And for various reasons, none of the games we had downloaded we could play. And so we just went on the Steam store and saw what was there. And there was a game called Stick Fight the Game. And
oh! It's like
the most basic, it's like the complete opposite of The Last of Us. We got both ends of the spectrum here. It's like a stick man fighting game. That's all it is. And it goes through, you like... You decide to do a co-op or like a versus game with your friends. You all spawn in the same area. It's just like a waiting room. You kill each other and then you're off. And it runs through about 20 different levels, each with their own really basic but really fun mechanics. And then it loops. And that's all it is. And it's got a great array of like weird weapons to kill each other with. And like the game mechanics, but what I mean by level mechanics is like it could be something like this level is six barrels stacked on top or two sets of three barrels stacked on top of each other. And that's it. And the barrels have physics. So it's like... Well, don't tip them over or everyone dies. And it quickly, everyone dies, of course, and you're on to the next level.
How long did you play this for with your friends?
Well, this is the one criticism I have of it, is that the shelf life, like, because it loops, you're like, I'm fun, it's 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 fun. We've been here for 3 hours. Oh no, it's still the same game. But it's also the kind of game that I think if you stopped playing for like 2 or 3 days and jump back in, you'd have a good time again. The weapons are cooked. One of them is thrusters. So you like fire thrusters at somebody and it just pushes them off the map. That's great. There's a lot of weapons that fire snakes and the snakes just go all across the level and attack you and your allies. So like the moment somebody gets a snake gun, you're like, well, that's it. We're done. It's snakes.
Mm. I do like the idea of a snake gun. That has me intrigued.
I think one of the like greatest things that this game does is that you all die. No single like round lasts longer than like 3 to even 2 minutes. Like it's just over like that, and you're on to the next level. And like the, I don't know, the quick pace is really I think what keeps it engaging for as long as it can be engaging. And then obviously you hit a point, and like we did, where you're like, well, let's mix around because obviously you can pick like, oh, only want these weapons to spawn or whatever, or only these levels. And you're like, what if it's just black hole guns and glue guns? So we try to do it so that you fire a black hole, which just eats the map. But you've also got to try and stick each other in place so that you get sucked into the black hole, that kind of thing. Or what if we just did it with swords? Or
hey,
what if we just did it with this?
You know? I don't want to like break the logic of your friends here, but if you've stuck someone to the floor, how can they get sucked off by a black hole gun?
Well, so the black hole gun fires a black hole that slowly fills the entire level.
Okay.
But if you, like, get down into a corner and huddle down, you can kind of avoid it and everyone will die first. But the glue gun sticks you in place, so you're, like, scrambling to get away from it as it sucks you off. Is this, kind of how that works.
This is one of those games where I can imagine you being very giddy with your friends.
Oh, we were giddy. Yeah. Oh, the giddiness was high. But then, like I said, obviously, it does have a shelf life. And at a certain point, you're like, I don't care anymore. It's also
How does it compare to something like, say, Ultimate Chicken Horse or like a Gang Beast type thing?
For me, personally, I kind of almost enjoy it more than Gang Beasts because Gang Beasts eventually, like, the levels, there's not as many, and also the stuff you can do in Gang... Like, Gang Beast rules, but, like, at a certain point, you're like, it's pick up my friend, throw him off a ledge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What
Whereas in this,
Nidhogg?
You're like... This is I kind of realized that I actually quite dislike Nidhogg. The shelf life of Nidhogg is like 20 minutes. And then you're like, oh yeah.
So
but at least in this you could be like
any other indie games you want to drag while you're here? So you hate Nidhogg, Gang Beasts. Ultimate Gang Chicken Beast Horse you didn't say anything bad about.
Yeah, but you can imagine how I feel. No, Ultimate Chicken Horse is great, but it's a different game. I mean Ultimate Chicken Horse is like
not a punch on, it's a platformer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this, it's like, oh, I don't know, every level plays out very differently. We also were doing stuff like, oh, just one hit point, you know, that's see how that sort of does us. Yeah, like I feel like you could play it for a longer time and stay entertained for longer playing Stick Fight the Game as opposed to, Gang Beasts, but I don't know, maybe Gang Beasts has more depth. But yeah, it was just like a really great time playing such a simple little indie game that kept us entertained for like 3 or 4 hours, which, hey, that's all I really am looking for in this life.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy to get it.
I love every single time you talk about playing video games with your friends online, it always has the same energy and is always just something that, to me, just sounds like the worst thing in the world. You're like, yeah, we played Stick Fight, the game, for 4 hours. We played GTA online and they just kept putting me in the back of a truck for 6 days. And it was just really fun because I was in the back of a truck and they were driving it. And I was like, I can't drive this truck because I'm in it.
Yeah, that's different strokes, man. Everybody gets... The idea of playing The Last of Us 2 for however long you played it, a million years, sounds just so draining.
30 but hours over a week, baby.
Yeah. But 4 hours in a night of just straight goofing, I don't know, that's all right. That's fine by me.
That's true. Look, hey, we're the two sides.
Two ends of the spectrum. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're the virgin multiplayer, and I'm the Chad single player adventure man. I get it.
Zamet's in the middle of the Venn diagram with a farming simulator, I guess.
Zamet the farm simp.
Yeah. There you go. I don't really have much more to say on it than that. I think it was really cheap as well. It was like maybe $10, maybe a little bit more. And if you're just looking to kill some time, it's a great game. I recommend getting it. It's on Steam. I don't know if it's on like the PS4 or anything. I don't think it's on Switch. But yeah, grab it. Tell me if you like it. Don't. I don't want to know.
What's your thumb score?
Probably like 4 thumbs, I would say. Loses a thumb because, again, like you can't play it forever, but you can play it for a decent amount of time to get your money's worth. Again, that's all you need.
That's all you want in this life.
That's all you need in this life.
You get a painting, you stare at a painting for how long? Less than 4 hours, I would argue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it worth more than a ticket to the Louvre?
I mean, the Louvre has a lot of paintings, so it's a great question. If someone was like, Jackson, do you want to go to the Louvre or play Stick Fight the game? I'd probably pick the Louvre. But that's only because I go into the Louvre.
I wonder if you'd already been to the Louvre maybe 3 weeks ago.
Are they paying for my ticket?
You are in France.
Cool. I think there's other things I want to do in France, to be honest.
Look, how about this? We'll go out and get a cheese croissant.
Yeah, great.
And have a nice coffee.
I'll do that instead of going to
the Does this change your opinion? Perfect. It's on sale until July 10 and it's $3.70.
Wow.
Australian.
Yeah. No, it's still good.
No, I'm the opposite. That should make it better, Jackson. I'm not saying
it didn't lose a thumb for the price. I'll give it a knock for Dusha.
Thank you.
4 thumbs and a knock because Joel Dusha demands it.
So all in all, today's episode was a whopping 10 thumbs.
Gee, goddamn whiz.
It's maybe the biggest score the world's ever seen.
Absolutely. The greatest score.
I'm
crushed by all these thumbprints. I say.
Dying to talk more about The Last of Us. So if you want to talk to me about it, hit me up on things. Don't tweet me spoilers because it'll come up in other people's feeds, but message me or whatever.
Tweet me spoilers, though.
No, don't do that either, because it'll wreck it for other people. Not you. I don't care about you. I don't care about either of you.
Don't tweet me anything.
Block Jackson.
No, tweet me wait, what video games are, but you can't say art. That's what I want you to do.
Tweet me spoilers for the Monkey Island series.
That's better.
Video games are jazz.
Woo!
But jazz is art. Oh, no.
Music's not art either.
Oh, thank God. Music's not in the Louvre.
Exactly.
Might be in the elevators. Don't know if
maybe.
That
hard to say. Elevator music
elevators
is art.
Elevators in the Louvre?
Probably not. Stairs, baby. Stairs are art.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.